You've lived a great life and done well for yourself. But what mark will you leave on the world? How will you inspire future generations? Stan Miller and Katie Beth Hand have helped thousands of people answer exactly those questions. If you've ever wondered, what will be my legacy? You're in the right place. Welcome to the Your Life, Your Legacy podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Stan and Katie Beth.
Welcome back to the Your Life, Your Legacy podcast with your hosts, Stan Miller and Katie Beth Hand. Our guest today is legacy planning guru, Sherry Coleman. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we just jump in with all of our questions, would you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and what sparked your passion for legacy planning?
Sure, I would be happy to. There's a couple of things I think that sparked my personal interest in this. And one of them is that I was the very lucky recipient of a family history book that my mom's family put together and published, actually self-published in 1929. And my family members, one of her uncles, he came into a little bit of money and he sent a typewriter to all of the different families that lived in Grand Mountain in Arkansas. And he started a correspondence course to teach them how to learn how to type on an Underwood 5 typewriter. And the assignments were to write family histories, just things about where they came from. There were love stories in there, genealogy and all of that. And I am the lucky recipient of this little book that is one of my most treasured possessions. I wrote an article saying if my house was on fire, which it came close to being a couple of years ago, this would be what I would grab. And I did. It's just precious. It's full of wisdom. It tells me who I am, where I came from, tells me what was important to my family. And it's a treasured possession. And so I wish everybody had that. And then the other reason is that for many years, I was a paralegal at an estate planning law firm. And we met with hundreds of clients and families. And I watched that process play out. And I got to know people so intimately. We did lecture like you guys. We did very personalized plans. We weren't a paper mill, We did the real thing. Had to know people intimately and their families and their successes and their failures and all those things. And when we were done with an estate plan and we were signing it, people often were a little bit hesitant or they were even a little bit sad. And I'd say, what's going on? And they said, we've done all this great estate planning, which we feel so good about. People feel so accomplished when they've done it. But they said, I feel like there's a piece missing. I feel like I'm going to give this, all the stuff we worked so hard for, this money and these treasures and all. But I feel like you know me better than my family does. And I'm afraid that passing along these things without the values, without the history, without learning about our faith or maybe our immigration story or how hard we worked, I'm afraid it might do more harm than it does good. And if you've been in this industry for any amount of time, that so our money given and it's a great thing. And then you can see it really ruin lives if it's not handled correctly. And so I began to look for ways to help people put those personal stories and those values and things into their lives and really to go along, become partners with the estate planning, the traditional planning process. So that's how I got started.
I love it.
That really resonates. Let me just say, I've given that speech about 1,000 times myself.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm totally on board for that program.
Yeah, great minds think alike, right, Stan?
They do, yes, absolutely.
Yep. No, if you've worked in that industry any amount of time, you see it up close. And sometimes it's so wonderful when people have done it well, and then it's so sad when things fall apart. So
absolutely. So tell our listeners a little bit about your company. You have turned your passion for this piece of helping people capture these stories. You've turned that into its own business, and that's what you help people do. So tell our listeners a little bit about More Than Words and about the types of services you offer.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I started out when I was doing the estate planning stuff, going to estate planning seminars and conferences and all that. And I heard a speaker who I believe Stan referenced in his book, Dr. Barry Baines, And he was a speaker at one of the conferences, and he wrote the book Ethical Wills.
Yep.
And I was just completely fascinated, thinking this is just a beautiful partnership with what we do. So I got to know Barry, and I actually went through his training on how to train estate planning attorneys on this. And then years later, Barry started a company with Tracy Ward called Living Wisely. And they became a training and certification company, training instructors all over on how to guide people through different legacy pathways. So they do the ethical will or legacy letter. They also do something called life reflection stories, and which are short stories where you can pass along a nugget of wisdom that you have learned. They're just wonderful. And then another one is the Making a Difference plan. And I love this, especially when you have estate planning clients. It's really helping people focus on what is most important to them in the areas of generosity and helping them figure that out. Where can they make the greatest impact and what really touches their heart? Because, you know, I have found, I'm sure you guys have too, that sometimes the area in which we've had the most pain or the most challenges can be the area where we can also have the biggest impact. And so we go through kind of people's things and we help them figure out where they want to make that impact. And then we help them figure out, how do you bring your family along? How do you encourage generational generosity? And we come up with a plan for that. So that is part, those things are part of what I do. And I love doing those things. The other thing that I found, and in, I think it was in 2010, I became a certified instructor with guided autobiography. We call it GAB for short. And GAB is the process that was developed by Dr. James Beeren, who was a pioneer in gerontology. Matter of fact, he started the USC School of Gerontology, and his life was dedicated to researching healthy aging and living fully and wisely. And of course, as we all know now by all the research, it has to do with connection, right? That kind of thing really has to do with connection. And so his research led him to develop this process called guided autobiography, wherein he would bring groups of people together, very diverse groups of people together, and he would lead them through a process of reflecting, writing, and sharing their life stories. Not chronologically, but in themes and major life themes that tend to run through everyone's life. So I describe it when people are taking this course or they're learning about it. I describe it like this, that the Greeks had two gods of time. They had Kronos, who was the god of chronological time, right? The calendar and the clock and all of the kinds of things. And then they had the god Kairos. Kairos was the god of those special, important moments in life. And so I always tell people, a guided autobiography, that's what we're looking for, are those Kairos moments, those moments that had a great impact on your life that kind of made you who you are today. Those are what people want to know about. Those are the kind of things that people want to know about. So I've been doing that since 2010. I've led hundreds of people through that process, families. I do it in groups, individually, retreats, all of those kind of things. And I now sit on the board of the Beeren Center. We're now a nonprofit organization. And we're coming up with two new courses as well. One that I'm working on called the Life Portfolio. And it's going to be really fun. It's from Dr. Beeren's research. And the metaphor is your financial portfolio. You've got 100% of your assets. How do you allocate them? And we look at people's lives. We separate it. We look at what's working, what isn't, why you do what you do, your risk tolerance, all those kinds of things. And they come up with a new life portfolio plan. So those are some of the things I do.
That is phenomenal, Stan. I know you are brimming with questions. Yeah. What questions do you have for Sherry?
Yeah. So I want to drill into that a little bit more. Just, can you talk about how you do it? So if a prospective client reaches out to you and engages you, I mean, what's the process look like for you?
It just depends. So I get referrals from all over, from estate planning attorneys, financial planners, hospice organizations, churches, and then just individuals. And I also do things here locally in my own community through a recreation center or something like that for local, through churches, those kinds of things. So people reach out to me and it depends on what their needs are and what their goals are. And we talk through that and see maybe which one of these legacy pathways would best fit their needs, their goals, their hopes. And we figure that out. And then we go through the process. And sometimes people want to do it in groups. And so I put groups together. Sometimes people are very hesitant to do it in groups. And so we can do it individually as well. But I tell you what, the group process is magical.
You think it's better than a one-on-one individual interaction?
You know, they both are very valuable. But I tell you what, when you're in a group process, the group becomes, and everybody is sharing their intimate life stories. And we're like an AA group. It is complete confidentiality. And, you know, I always tell people, hey, we all are going to be vulnerable here and it's all confidential. So when people start sharing those kind of intimate details, often they've never shared them with anyone else in their entire life. That group bonds incredibly. And then they learn from one another and they feed off one another. And what you say reminds me of something. And then they get feedback from the group, not on the skill of writing, but what we learned from you, from your writing. What kind of characteristics did we see in you? What kind of things did we see that you have lived through and what wisdom do you have?
I see a lot of people who tell me they want to do something like this, but they're really intimidated by a blank computer screen.
Of course.
So how do you, I'm sure that's, I think that's a universal thing, right? And so how do you help get, how do you move people past that?
Absolutely. I think you need a really enjoyable, meaningful process and you need accountability to actually get this work done. This is hard work. And I think that's one of the things that keep people from doing it. Articulating your values and really what is in your heart, that takes time and it takes some work. So we do have these tried and true processes that have been going on and proven through research, but we take it one step at a time. It's one bite of the elephant at a time. And we go week by week. We roll out a theme, the general theme, and we break it down. We have memory evoking exercises. We have creative exercises to tap into that right side of the brain. We use music and poetry. We use TED Talks, all kinds of things to really help people get in the flow of the theme for that week. And then what we do is we send them home to do a little homework and their assignment in guided autobiography, that is. That's what I'm talking about here, is to write 2 pages a week and bring it back. We don't want any more than 1,000 words. And that is doable for people. And some people think that's too little and some people think that's way too much to do. But once they get into the flow of it, it seems just right. It's enough words to go deep and really tell a story, but it's limited enough so you don't go down the rabbit trails and lose people's interest. And then when they come back to class, we share that. So if it's just me, they read it to me and I give them my feedback. If we're in a group, they read it to the group and then the group gives them their feedback. And people feel heard and they feel validated and they feel inspired. And they keep coming back. And not tooting my own horn, but people constantly say, this is one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
Is the guided autobiography the most common output at the end of the process? Is that the thing people do most frequently of all the things that you offer?
It just depends, again, what their needs or what their goals are. So if I'm working with someone who's maybe been referred by a hospice organization or somebody maybe has a terminal illness, but they really want to do that, I probably wouldn't have them go through that entire process. That might be a little too intensive. We might start with a legacy letter or maybe the life reflection stories that are a little bit shorter. Again, it just depends on what the person's needs and goals are. I love having these different pathways that I can pull from depending on people's needs.
Right.
Yeah.
with all of these different avenues, and I'm sure you've heard so many just incredible stories from your clients, can you tell us one of your favorite stories and how it impacted you?
Oh my gosh, I've heard so many incredible stories. I wouldn't even know where to get. One of them that comes to mind is I had a retired pastor in my class who his first assignment was a church in South Carolina. And he was met by the head of the KKK his first day on the job and threatened. And fascinating story. I've had quite a few people that were children in World War II. A lot of stories of how they escaped, just unbelievable stories of the human condition and the human will to survive, of love, of sacrifice. Yeah, I think Mark Twain has a quote, and I have it up here in my office. It says, "There was never yet an uninteresting life. Such a thing is an impossibility. Inside of the dullest exterior, there is a drama, a comedy, and a tragedy." And I think I find everybody's story fascinating. And what's interesting is some people will come and they go, "My life's been boring. I don't really know anybody's going to be interested in hearing it." And literally, they read their first story that first week, and I'm blown away, or the group is blown away, because it's not our story. They've lived with it. And so that's just normal for them. But when you hear it, it is so impactful and inspiring. Anyway, I'm so lucky to get to do what I do.
Absolutely. So to change gears just a little bit, you're married and you have four sons. Is that right?
I have five kids. I have four sons and one daughter.
Okay. So nothing teaches you life wisdom quite like motherhood. Plus all of the wisdom from the work that you've done. So if you could give our listeners one piece of advice, either something you've learned through motherhood or something that you've learned or that's inspired you from one of your clients, one piece of advice, what would that be?
Wow. Oh my gosh. Motherhood is so humbling. I think my kids have taught me just about everything I know. I think the one, and well, let's see. I think probably the one thing is that the only person you can change is yourself. You can influence and you can inspire, but the only person you can actually change is yourself. And I think the only thing that really does change or help people is love. I think love is the key to everything. And I think if you live with that in mind, that is your high value and your priority and putting other people first. I don't know. Those are the things that I've learned and what I've seen in my stories and what I've experienced in my own life.
Very powerful nuggets of wisdom there. And I would certainly agree with you on all of those things. Yeah. Through this work that you're doing, what is it you hope your legacy will be?
That's such a good question.
It's hard, right? We help our clients create legacies every day. And then when someone says, "What is your legacy?" you have to stop and really think about it. So Sherry, what is it you hope your legacy will be?
I've written my stories. I've had to go through all of these processes myself in order to become certified. And so I've done them. So I've written them. But I think my ultimate legacy is my family and my faith. I hope people know that I loved them well and I loved them authentically and deeply and that I cared about them. And I just think I hope that is my legacy, that's what people remember, is that I showed up for them, that I loved them and I cared for them and showed up.
I love it. Do you have any other questions?
I was going to say, what I love about the work that you do, and I like to think we do that work too, is that the work that we do not only impacts the lives of people that you work with, there's a ripple effect that lasts for a really long time. And we don't know how long, right? Because the work that we do could be impacting families 100, 200, 300 years from now.
Just like my book that I got was 100 years ago. And I've actually seen what I love about a lot of this stuff too, is that people share it with family members now while they have an opportunity to have these discussions and these conversations. And I've seen it actually heal some families. I've seen it reconcile people. There's something about reading someone's story that maybe you have a disagreement with, or you've had a falling out with, or you're separated from, reading their story is just not as confrontational as having that face to face. And so I've seen people write these kinds of things given to family members, and it started a conversation and reconciliation actually happened. And that's a part of that that I love. That's why I love a lot of the people that I work with that do these. We put books together. We self-publish these books, and they put photos and all this cool stuff in them. And then they give them to their family members and their friends. And they're wonderful. We have book signing parties. These people are so, when you've done this, you feel pretty accomplished. It's a big deal. You've written a book. You've written about that. You know you've done something really good for your family. And people are very excited and proud of that. And so I love the connection that makes even now in the present.
So I know you're in Southern California, but how do you work with clients that are not in Southern California?
Yeah. Thank goodness for Zoom, right? I do a lot of my training and a lot of my stuff on Zoom. Matter of fact, I now train guided autobiography instructors through the Barron Center all throughout the world. So we have 650 instructors in 33 countries. So I'm literally training people in Kuwait and in Australia and all over the world. So this kind of technology makes it possible. And it's surprisingly intimate. You would think, oh gosh, it seems a little cold and whatever, but it surprisingly works. And it's a great platform.
So you can make a big impact and never leave home. Yeah.
That is true. Sherry, is there anything that we didn't talk about that you would like our listeners to know about?
I don't think so. I think you guys have covered what I do and what I hope to do. And yeah, I think you've covered just about all of it.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. For our listeners, this has been the Your Life, Your Legacy podcast with Stan Miller and Katie Beth Hand. And our guest today was Sherry Coleman. For more information about Sherry or the work that she does, you can visit morethanwordsinc.com, and we will also link that in the show notes for you. And for our listeners, I just wanted to point out, if you're interested in the work that Sherry's doing, she also has a section on her website where you can go and actually view some samples of each of these things that she's talking about. So visit morethanwordsinc.com, see what Sherry's got going on. And Sherry, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Well, thank you. Love being here with you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Your Life, Your Legacy podcast with Stan Miller and Katie Beth Hand. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To find out more about Stan and Katie Beth, go to PinnacleLegacyLaw.com. You can also find links in the show notes.